Think Again with Borderlands Cooperative.
Join us for critical conversations about things that matter.
Every Friday at 10 a.m. on 3CR Community Radio, 855 AM on your dial.
And 3CR Digital, streaming live at 3cr.org.au.
So together, let's think again about important matters affecting us, like economics,
politics,
education,
health,
climate,
and what we can do about it all. Welcome to our 313th episode of Think Again, a program produced by Borderlands Cooperative, an organization working for social change for more than a quarter of a century. I'm Jacques Boulet.
And I'm Jennifer Burrell.
We're broadcasting live from the 3CR studio in the land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. Today we're talking about the, let me call it, quote-unquote, performance of the Labour government and how it's rather difficult to find any clear lines in the policy and political decisions being made or not made. Mm-hmm. During the last few days or weeks, I have been listening to a few bits of our Prime Minister's speeches as he was pontificating at the UN General Assembly in New York. And then at a later meeting of presumed progressive or left parties and governments in London. And I was just wondering whether Albo ever catches himself rereading his speechwriter's guff or re-listens to himself. And if he would do that, whether he would spend any time reflecting on whether and how the grand things he has spouted as his often quite lecturing and pedantic sounding ways, whether those words match the policies and the decisions his government has been making and continues to make.
Yeah, and does Albanese ever wonder whether those who elected him and his government, with a pretty good majority, will continue to trust him to keep his pre-election promises? And remember, promises that made people vote for him, bringing Labour into power at the last election.
Totally, indeed. As Amy Ramakis from the Australian Institute and the New Daily reminds us, talking about it, the importance of trust, she quotes Honora O'Neill, who is North Ireland's political philosopher, and I quote, "Trust, it is constantly observed, is hard-earned and easily dissipated. It is valuable social capital and not to be squandered. If there are no guarantees to be had, we need to place trust with care."
Yeah, with no guarantees to be had, we need to place trust with care. So, well, there are certainly no guarantees coming from federal Labour at the moment.
No, that's quite right. Overall, it really looks as if there is no guarantee to be had in the contemporary shape in which Australian politics is trapped nationally and internationally. And there is little care being spent to maintain trust with the people.
Yeah, even taking into account the liquid shifting sands of international politics. Mm-hmm,
that's right, yeah. I admit that the political scene internationally is all over the place, and we have been discussing this in a few recent programs. It is really difficult to find any clear lines of continuity given Trump's MAGA-ficient, I just invented that word, MAGA-ficient and rather fascist excretions. Still, the picture of our Prime Minister hopscotching from New York to London and back home via the United Arab Emirates and inviting their Lulu hypermarket to come and compete with Coles and Woolworths.
It's a solution to the cost of living.
Exactly. It just really feels disconcerting, as if he and his government are just trying to be seen as doing a lot, jumping from issue to issue, making seemingly deeply convincing principled statements about an astounding variety of things, but all without any clear consistency in relation to the main strategic promises and policy lines they came to the election with. It looks rather like a diversion tactic.
Yeah, or a range of statements and positions written by a media and communications team.
Yes, a comms team kind of stuff, yes. So starting with our friendship with our closest ally, the US. Well, it does seem as if Albo is trying to do more than just taking selfies with MAGA Trump and finally catch up with the man, also urged on by the so-called opposition and by serious journalists like Michel Grattan.
Mm-hmm.
So, but what is the point, really?
Yeah.
Confirming our wobbly relationship with that ally just seems to keep it wobbling longer, if not more.
Yeah, or putting off some of the bigger wobbling, hoping to.
That's
right. And then there's our formal recognition of Palestine as a sovereign state, albeit following more than 150 countries. I think the latest count, 157.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Including Canada and the UK. So I think that's a welcome signal, but it's undermined by the absence of any real concrete action to sanction Israel and really try to stop the genocide.
Indeed. And our seemingly increasing stance to support Palestine is, in fact, just the confirmation of a solution neither of the two parties even want. And it earned the displeasure of Trump and his ilk, without recognizing that the Australian government is providing no guarantee to maintain our trust in this matter.
Yeah, like stopping military export permits mm-hmm. to Israel,
mm-hmm.
or telling the US to cut weapons trade with Israel, or stop giving it weapons,
mm-hmm.
plus demanding and supporting UN action to stop the killing and starvation of people in Gaza. So there are a few real...
Yeah, so rather than providing guarantees that maintain our trust, the government just continues to peddle like servers, and I'm a non-server talking.
You sound like a surfer.
Servers waiting for the big wave.
Yeah, when many voters had hoped that this government would be the big wave, which is why they voted for them.
Exactly. So going back to Albo's United Nations speech, aiming to get us again onto the United Nations Security Council and needing to offer a sales pitch, he depicted Australia with such a selective and close to implausible characterization that I felt really uncomfortable at the end.
Yeah.
Indeed, in front of an assembly of representatives of nations who emerged from colonial pasts, whose indigenous peoples are still waiting for proper compensation for, or even for the admission of the brutalities inflicted by those powers that settler colony Australia has been and still is part of.
Mm.
So the ignorant and arrogant pomposity of this speech still rankles with me.
Mm.
And implicitly signalling our commitment to democracy, whilst most present will know about its clear and obvious imperfections, but clearly being a message to those considered not democratic, like China and those kind of nations, that just gave the game away for me.
Yeah, so can you say a bit more what you mean
by
that?
Well, there was always in some of the speeches, in both occasions in London and in New York, that he contrasted our democratic tradition with the non-democratic countries, mm. like, you know, Russia and all of those. And of course, the many times that various United Nations sub-agencies have been severely critical of Australia's performance, that rendered our presumed world leadership qualities sound more like a bit hollow for the observant listener. So think about our regularly criticised treatment of Aboriginal peoples.
Of course. And our inhumane treatment of refugees and asylum seekers.
Oh, think about the boat people saga.
Yeah, and us keeping so many asylum seekers and refugees here in perpetual limbo on temporary visas. On temporary visas for years. And with them always being afraid of suddenly being deported or after having pretty much settled here.
Exactly, and it continues.
Often their families, yeah.
Absolutely, and it continues because they had the recent deal with Nauru to hold yet another lot of unwanted asylum seekers just a couple of weeks ago.
Mm.
And not to mention then, of course, also the environmental and species extinction critique we have earned. And indeed, our initial reaction to the judgments of the International Court of Justice about Palestine. Not least that Israel's occupation of the Palestinian territories is unlawful.
Yeah.
And I have to admit that I stopped halfway listening to Albo's speech at the London gathering of the progressive and left parties and groupings and governments. His declaration of our presumed steadfast and excellent performance as a democracy earned a standing ovation from all the other quote-unquote left participants at that gathering, which really made me wonder of our understanding what left and progressive indeed have come to mean at a time where we should be openly acknowledging the damages done by neoliberalism and openly developing and implementing the necessary system changes to repair them openly and directly.
Yeah, and do something to reinstate the idea of collective responsibility rather than outsourcing our government responsibilities and services to the market and profit-making entities.
Exactly. So let's listen at Positive Change by Buruk for another bit of idea. Listening to Think Again on 3CR Community Radio on 855 AM on your dial and streaming live at 3cr.org.au. Before the break, we were talking about the confusing quote-unquote performance of the still rather new Labour government, which doesn't really quite match its rhetoric about itself.
Yeah, I think you were quite clear about that, Jacques.
Yeah.
And I was saying we need to do something in our public politics to reinstate the idea of collective responsibility, which the government asked for us on that basis and collects taxes for us on that basis.
That's right.
Yeah. Rather than outsourcing our services to the market and profit-making entities. So just 3 weeks ago, we had a program named The Failed Neoliberal Takeover of Our Human Services. When will our leaders see it's not working?
That's right.
So Bob Davidson gave the NDIS as an example in that program of the failed neoliberal approach in that. But the aged care system is another example.
That's right. The failures in aged care were outlined really well by Kathy Eagar in Pearls and Irritations in late September. Namely, the extremely long waiting time to receive aged care at home with 200,000 people waiting in the queue.
Two So 200,000 people waiting in the queue, and that's some queue, if you can visualise that.
I tried to imagine it from here to Shepparton or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
The other failure is, of course, also the excessive charges that the government is planning to make older people pay for receiving support at home.
Yeah, so apparently we're going back to user pays.
It looks like it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Or consumer pays, you know, rather than citizens, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And according to Kathy Eager, the figure of 200,000 older people waiting to receive care at home doesn't even include all the people waiting for services like Meals on Wheels, community transport, home nursing, and other services funded through a separate, very long-established program called the Commonwealth mm-hmm. Home Support Program, or CHSP. So that's 200,000 is a massive underestimate.
That's right.
And the new system we're meant to be transitioning to is called Support at Home, a cosy sounding name within the new neoliberal marketised directions aged care is taking. So to quote Kathy Eager, support at home is not a Labor program and is not consistent with Labor values. It is a program continued on from the last coalition government and is conceptually based on Howard's, inverted commas, reforms to redefine the care economy as a private, for-profit market. This coalition invention included plans to demolish both the not-for-profit community sector and programs to strengthen communities and volunteering. Demolish both the not-for-profit community sector and programs to strengthen communities and volunteering.
Mm-hmm.
The eventual destruction of CHSP was part of that plan.
That's right.
Unquote. And this push to phase out the Commonwealth Home Support Program is happening despite the CHSP providing services to more than 800,000 older people a year at a fraction of the cost of the individualised package market model, according to Eager.
That's right.
So it's a real shame, a real travesty, and an unfolding tragedy for thousands of older Australians. And by the way, there are stories of older people dying mm-hmm. while they're on
yep.
waiting lists.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's an unfolding tragedy for thousands of older Australians, especially those who may end up in a residential care when they could have stayed at home with some support, which was the preventive idea of home support in the first place.
Exactly.
So why make them pay and keep them out of the home support?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, this support will be out of reach, or it's largely out of reach because of unavailability, or in the future because older people in need just won't be able to afford to pay for help with basic things like showering.
Hmm.
But what do we hear about this from our leaders? News grabs and media statements, for example, about new home care packages being released. No matter how grossly inadequate the number is of those new releases to the actual demand.
Which somehow brings us back to Amy Remakis, as she points out, one of the ways governments destroy trust is through secrecy and half-truth.
Yeah, and which this government seems to be so disappointingly good at. In my opinion, mm-hmm. it's not an intention. It doesn't intend to
mm-hmm.
do that.
Mm.
But this is what results when every decision or public pronouncement you make is put through the political result filter or the media communications filter.
Mm, that's right. So we see the Federals tinkering around so many disparate...
They're not tinkering, Jacques.
Tinkering around so many disparate edges that people just lose a sense of strategic direction, a sense of positive social change, which was promised at the last election, which is most likely non-existent, really, and the purpose of all the disparate doing and throwing is hiding that lie. And a look at the Environmental and Ecological Commissions and omissions of the Labour Party in government is equally instructive of its diversion and obfuscation strategy.
And I don't even know if it's one strategy, but the accumulation of lots of little strategies.
They're comms ways of doing, of dealing with the public, basically.
Just look at the Australian government's decision to extend the life of Woodside's Northwest Shelf gas project by 40 years, which is will enable massive fossil fuel emissions way into the future, decades, while also making great fanfare about its emissions reduction target for 2035. Grossly inadequate anyway, according to the climate science, which we talked about on our last program last week with Annika Reynolds from the Australian Conservation Foundation.
And the Labor government already sounds rather similar to the coalition on its way to losing the election when the coalition was on the way to lose the election earlier this year. Mm-hmm. The Lighter Footprints group in Burundara summarizes the whole ecological thing as follows, and I quote them, "There is a lot to absorb, but the key take home is Labour is failing us on climate. First was Murray Watt's approval of the Northwest Shelf extension to 2070. This approval was crucial to the viability of Woodside's proposed Browse project, which is a potential carbon bomb. Then came the long-delayed release of the National Climate Risk Assessment, depressing reading. And yes, it's as bad as we thought. Finally, last week, the Albanese government announced a 2035 emissions reduction target of 62% to 70%. In summary, Australia continues to approve new coal and gas whilst recognising the significant risks Australia faces from climate impacts and simultaneously setting a target which won't act to sufficiently protect us from those risks." And they end their statement by saying, "Yes, Minister."
Yeah, which pretty much sums it all up rather nicely, or not so nicely, I should say. And without even mentioning another report not being released, and that's the Climate Security Report.
That's right. Yeah.
So hence another point adding to the impression of this government as being secretive.
That's correct, yeah. And as we said, let's just go to back Amy Romeikis, writing in the New Daily, and I quote her, "The people who voted Albanese in are rapidly losing trust that this government hears them, if they have any trust left at all. All of it is creating the perfect environment for disruption, just like we saw in the US. O'Neill grappled with all these issues more than two decades ago and concluded there was a simple remedy, limiting deception. For that to work, our government should have to trust Australians and start being more open and honest about its actions and lack of actions, and accept that the worldviews it's attempting to hold on no longer exists." End of quote.
And I'd add that your decisions will be better as a government if they genuinely include an informed public. If only governments had listened to the masses of people protesting against the invasion of Iraq a couple of decades ago.
Under Hartwood, exactly.
If they listened to the people marching every week for 2 years against the military assault and genocide in Gaza. The idea being to listen to the people in true democratic manner, in having a true democracy,
That's right.
Before listening to them before they even need to march to profile their objection and dissent.
That's right.
Yeah, shouldn't even get to that. But let's leave the last words to Stuart Sweeney, writing in Pearls and Irritations late September in an article titled, "Labor Has a Narrow Window to Effect Change." Stuart Sweeney argues that Australia is on a trajectory that cannot last, a trajectory including endless growth, free market dogma, dependence on the US for security, a property and resource-driven economy, and a media sphere dominated by News Limited. To quote Sweeney, "We live in an age where ecological collapse is not a risk, but a reality, where inequality, insecurity, and social fragmentation grow even in wealthy nations, where alliances once thought unshakable are unravelling, where the global system itself is shifting from US primacy to multipolar disorder. Australia, sitting on the edge of Asia, faces all these pressures at once," unquote.
Yeah, and Stuart Sweeney suggests a new trajectory. He says that Australia's renewal requires five decisive shifts, which include, first, ecological security. Treat climate and biodiversity collapse as existential threats on par with military security, not as side projects. Second, economy. Break dependence on resources and property speculation. Invest in industries that add value, innovate and sustain. Then, First Nations justice. Put truth, treaty and genuine power sharing at the center of national renewal. Without this, there is no legitimacy. And finally, defence. Build sovereign capability for the defence of Australia itself, not the wars of others.
Yeah, and to which I'd add, and government, Australian government, Labor government, do your job and stop outsourcing your responsibilities to private profit makers.
And live up to your own rhetoric, finally. So, just a very brief community announcement. The conference is really happening in about 2 weeks now.
Regenerating Communities
that's
Conference.
That's right. We had a quite overwhelming response, and we really are looking forward to catch up with other community workers and activists and so on in Footscray.
Mm-hmm. So, thanks to our listeners for tuning in to Think Again on 3CR Community Radio today. If you want to send us any comments about today's program or any other program or suggestions for future programs, you can email Borderlands. Their email address is borders@borderlands.org.au.
And our past programs are available by podcast on different platforms and via the 3CR website at 3cr.org.au. And meanwhile, to finish our program today, please enjoy Milky Mana by King Stingray.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.